Dennis, how you doing?
Good, Andy. How are you? Good to see
Doing
ya.
good. Doing really good. It's a hot day here in Atlanta, so I'm glad for air conditioning.
Here we got a perfect day, 72 degrees inside. Oh, come
Yeah, good for you. Let's talk about building a gold portfolio. We did this when we worked together in the hedge fund industry and managing a lot of money. We built for a client a
Right.
gold portfolio, and it outperformed everything. I think that was partly due to timing. But what I really liked, even out of the outperformance, was the safety and the way we did it and stress tested it and all of that.
Right.
So one of the biggest feedbacks I hear from listeners and viewers is they're overwhelmed and they don't know how to build a portfolio. So what I wanted to do, or what I've asked you to do, is to build one, and let's just you and I talk about the steps of going in and how to do that. So you ready?
Absolutely, yeah. It's I mean, if you're an investor, right, it doesn't matter whether you invest in stocks and real estate and private equity. I think gold and gold stocks, just the whole gold industry, should be a part of that. Whether you do it, you allocate very little, 5 or 10%, just for safety, just in case it happens in the world. You don't have to be a gold bug, you know, they say. In my view, I think it's a golden age for gold. Pun intended. Gold is in the bull market. You can see a lot of interest, not just by different treasuries and countries buying it, but individuals everywhere. The chart shows it, longer term chart. I think not only it belongs in everybody portfolio, it's almost a must. So in my case, it's much more than that's what we do. We kind of specialize in that. You have to ask yourself a question as an investor. Are you a like an active investor, right? That you change your portfolio, you know, every week or two, not change it, but adjust it here and there. So you look at it all the time. Or are you more on the passive side that, you know, you have a 5-year view, a 10-year view, and you invest in certain ETFs and stocks. And you every now and again, if you see something interesting, you add or subtract. There's nothing wrong with either one. You know me, I'm a trader, obviously, so I'm a little bit more active. I had options to it, and we'll talk about it. But depending how much you allocate, you start with the basic. The basics, I mean ETFs. So what I would do, doesn't matter how much money you allocate, we'll just talk percentages. You allocate X amount of money at you. Whatever.
Okay.
5%, 50.
If I can interrupt you here, we would also recommend people owning physical, correct? Or the ETF GLD, correct?
I would
As a
say for
such.
now, for now we're gonna talk more about without physical. So we're gonna talk about ETFs. So because you can do it with a click of a button, it's safe, it's easy. So we're not going to talk futures, we're not going to talk physical. There's nothing wrong with physical. Actually, I advocate it, but for the simplicity's sake, let's talk more of ETFs.
Got it.
So,
Okay.
in my view right now, as I mentioned, gold is in the bull market. But the last, I mean, you have to think about timing a little bit. Timing is everything. So, the last few weeks, I mean, gold had a great run up, as long as silver and other metals. And right now it's correcting. I wish it's not, nothing wrong with that after a good run. Also, the seasonality, I don't know why it works, but the seasonality is a little bit bearish. Summer is usually a questionable period for gold and gold stocks, which is fine. This is actually a period that correction gives us an opportunity to add. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing because there's no doubt in my mind the gold is going higher longer term. In my view, the first thing I would do is to allocate a third of that gold portfolio to gold itself, which we're going to talk ETF, which is GLD. So it is basically gold. It tracks gold one for one. I would
Okay.
allocate a third of it, and I would, let's assume you're starting right now. Maybe listeners have already something, but let's assume you start from scratch. You've never done it. This is it. Gold is having a little bit of correction. So a third of that gold portfolio I would just buy GLD and hold it. So for now, just a third. And that's, it's almost like owning physical gold. Liquid, great. So a third of it goes there. That's obviously, that's kind of my opinion. That's how I would set up. That's what I have.
Sure. And people can swap, whoever's listening and doesn't like the ETF, you can just swap it out physical. A third of your money would be in physical.
Yeah, a third in physical. GLD is the same thing. Or if you're a futures trader, happen to be there and put it in futures, but you have to, you know, roll it all the time. It's going to be pain in them. So a third of it would go into just, let's assume it's physical gold or GLD. And this is a long-term hold. You can subtract, add a little bit here and there, but that's kind of a core.
Okay.
Not third, which is also relatively simple. I would put in another ETF, which is GDX. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I'm not just see you familiar with that, but if listeners are or not. This GDX is the main ETF that contains all their biggest and the brightest stocks, gold producers, and everything has to do with gold. Sometimes GDX outperforms gold. Sometimes it underperforms gold. Obviously, they're highly correlated. And usually, it's interesting to know that it's a good sign with the stocks are doing better than gold itself. Just like in many other commodities, people think, okay, stocks follow the commodity, but a lot of times the commodity follows stocks. It's very interesting. So when I saw when it was a run, a good run on the upside, GDX started underperforming gold. And it was a sign for me, now we're going to correct it a little bit. So, and that happened to be true. But basically, two-thirds of your portfolio goes to gold, GDLD, your third of that, and another third in GDX. So,
got it. I have some questions about that, if you don't mind.
Yep. Yep.
So why GDX? And I'm a fan, just so everybody knows, of GDX as well. And this is not advice, but this is getting to what you're saying here. But why GDX and not why a handful of, or a couple of handfuls of large gold producers, or are we getting to?
I will have some smaller producers, but as far as large ones, they're very similar to each other. I mean, you look at their charts, yeah, you can win some, you can lose some, you can buy your favorite ones or not favorite ones. But at the beginning, as a start, I think GDX would be not only a simpler choice, but I think more of an intelligent choice. So all of a sudden you're not in some stock that underperforms or something happens to it. So that's why it's only a third, not the whole thing.
Yeah.
In a more of a simple way, and that's why I recommend GDX rather than buying Newman Mining and variables, this and that. And we tried that before, and I tried this before, and at the end, the result was almost similar to GDX. So some of them, oh my God, I picked the great one and outperformed. The other one is lagging. And at the end, it's very, very similar to GDX. So from a simplicity sake, I would recommend that.
Yeah.
So we got third off.
Well, I might add, and we're going to get into this later, I assume, is just the optionality of it all. If you are in GDX, you are getting the basket of the big producers, but also what you're doing is we're assuming, make an assumption, or buying at least 100 shares, or I don't know, buying a round number in 100 share increments. Well, that's going to give you a lot of different options, pun intended, and playing options, as opposed to buying 50 shares of Newmont, 75 shares of Barrick, blah, 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 if that makes
sense.
There
you go. There you go. Because we don't know, our listeners could be, you know, investing $10 million or they invest, you know, $3,000. We don't know. So I think we're going to talk about options as well. But now, as far as without derivatives, it's just start with GLD. GDX, GLD and GDX. And this is basically two-thirds of your portfolio, right? It's the core. And if you would like to be in gold, invested in gold industry, that would be my start.
Yeah.
Third is going to be another ETL. That's a little bit more interesting. This is it's called GDXJ, which it's always also very liquid. And it represents junior stock, much smaller stocks, which is supposed to be a little bit more risky than GDX. But looking at the chart of GDXJ and GDX, the last 3 years, they're almost identical, which is kind of strange because I would expect GDXJ the smaller ones without before in the bull market, because before people, you know, take more risk, stuff like that. But right now, lately they've been similar. I would add another maybe 10% or something like that to that, to GDXJ.
Okay, so let's call it 10%. So
let's call it 10%. Now it gets us to about 75%-ish, something
75%.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's your corporate folder.
Gotcha. Let me back up. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is important. Mm-hmm. So we get 30% to gold. We're going to call it GLD, the ETF for physicals. That's your core, and that's like your anchor. What I like about GLD, it is also optional, which again, we'll go into later. It just gives you a lot of options, pun intended, to hedge or to generate income and that sort of thing. So the other core is GDX, and that's another third. And that's going to really give you leverage, safe leverage on the price action of gold. And that a bonus, it's optionable as well.
Exactly.
And then you mentioned the junior ETF, GDXJ, which this is more theoretical than actuality, but theoretically, it's going to give you even more leverage than GDX. And that's going to take up 75% of the portfolio. So go ahead. So
roughly, yeah. GDXJ is a little riskier. But having said that, if they take off, oh my God, they will take off. All of a sudden in favor, and then the street decides to get into it, it's going to outperform both gold and GDX.
Got it.
This is a core that's maybe close to 75% or something like that.
Okay.
So now let's talk a little bit about options, as you mentioned. Without doing very difficult strategies that, you know, you and I would do sometimes, but if it's, you know, let's keep it simple. Right now, the gold is correcting a little bit, right? So, like I said, negative analogy and normal correction. And let's say I would like to have more GLD or more GDX, but I don't want to buy it here, right? So I can sell a put, an out of the money put, for example, 2 months out, 1 month out. Let's say GDX is trading right now. It's, I think, 3380 or something like that. I don't know where they close today. I can look at 33 put and sell it. Sell that put. Usually, as a trader, it's a bad idea to sell puts if you don't want to own the asset.
Yeah.
But as an investor, I think it's a good idea. You sell that put. If GDX never gets down to 33, then you just collect that premium. And that premium is between, depending on the month, between 3 and 4 or 5% for nothing, for just waiting to get more GDX. Why not? Why wouldn't I do it? It makes perfect sense to me. So if I want to, if GDX sells off more, fine, I'll get more GDX. That's what I want. Kind of a win-win thing. So that's an optionality thing.
Let me make a comment about that. And again, I'm sorry for interrupting, but let me make a comment about that to all of our listeners and viewers. Dennis taught me the strategy. I don't know. When did we meet? Like 24 years ago. We've known each other a long time.
Yeah.
I do this strategy all the time. In fact, and I play a lot of options, not as many options as I don't play options like Dennis does, but I play a lot of options. And this is probably in my long-term investment portfolio, what you just said, selling puts, is probably my favorite strategy. But here's the key. You got to want to own the underlying asset. You have to own it. You have to want to own it. What you're in essence is doing, as Dennis explains, is the market is paying you to own the asset.
Correct.
Why wouldn't you do that? So go ahead.
Wouldn't you do? Yeah.
Yep.
As I mentioned, it's a very bad idea to just sell naked puts without owning the asset. You don't want to be in gold or Apple stock or whatever. Selling put is a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. You're going
to lose a lot of money. But if you want to own that asset, I think it's a wonderful strategy. We don't do a lot of them because one option is, you know, 100 shares. You have to know what you're going to get and so on and so forth. That's kind of a passive income, or give me the stock. I want this stock at that price. I want it. I don't want to, right now, I don't want to add GDS at 3380. I want to have it at 32 or 33. Yeah, I would buy it. So pay me for waiting. And if it never happens, give me the premium.
Okay, so another question about that. What months, how far out would you sell the puts? Would you do it just 1 month out, or would you do it 2 months out, a quarter out? What?
Couple of months, I would say. Take a look at like July, August, September max, you know, because I'm thinking that we're talking right now, so negative seasonality, not sure, the chart pattern is like iffy, right? Okay, they fell off more, but I think coming towards maybe August to September, I think gold will come alive, hopefully soon.
Yeah,
but I think I'm more confident about August, September. So right now we're just meandering and so on. We talked about the dollar the other night, so I'm expecting the weakness from the dollar. So far, dollar is going nowhere. So, but if we get the weakness all of a sudden, then gold will take off soon. So if not, then we'll probably have to wait till August or September or something like that. So why don't we sell some puts? Then I think they have July, August, September. Take a look at them and sell something out of the mind like 33 or 32.
Yeah. So, to bring up another good point, just the timing of it all and the seasonality of it all in a sideways market, again, great strategy in sideways market. So go ahead.
Another thing on the options side, when the market is taking off, when the market is the market means gold, for example, right? It gets overbought, right? If you look at it, maybe you're becoming a little bit nervous. A good idea is to sell the call. It's not necessarily a hedge, but you're saying, okay, we get noble bought. I don't mind trimming my position a little bit, right? So it's kind of getting there. Fine. So you sell a call at a little bit out of the money and then they're higher, right? So if the market continues to go up, you're going to be taking out of that price. If it corrects, you get your premium. You get a little bit of premium. You don't have to do it every day. You don't have to be an active trader. I don't do that. Every now and again, I look at it, say, I'm nervous. It's too high. Let's sell some call. Not to get rid of the whole portfolio, but, you know, a portion of it. So if it corrects, you outperform it a little bit. So these are just two simple things, just selling puts to acquire or selling calls to give back some.
Yeah.
But in most cases, not going to happen. In most cases, you're going to get 2% here, 3% there, a little bit. And if you do it once every, 3 months, 6 months, depending on what the market is doing, don't do it all over the place. So I think it's a wonderful, simple strategies that enhances your portfolio by a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. If you do it throughout the year, you'll realize how much extra money you're going to get by doing that.
Yeah, a couple of things on that. So I'm a huge fan. That's probably my second favorite strategy, selling out of the money calls. Why I like this, it's the same thing. It's when it can be technical, but it's like things are overbought. I'm just almost always in my portfolio. On a percentage of my portfolio, I'm selling calls, not the whole portfolio, but a percentage of my portfolio. And that's really up to you. So let's say GDX is at 35 and it's looking toppy, or we're going into a seasonality here where we're expecting a correction. I would sell out of the money. I'd either sell at the money or right out of the money calls 1 month out. I typically only do it 1 month out because I'm happy keeping the position. Now, if I get called out of it, it's no problem. What I'll typically do is look for an entry point and then go back to the first strategy, which is selling up.
Regain
the position.
Yeah. Now, yes. Well, when it's overbought or you get a little nervous, there's nothing wrong to trim it. And that's even better than trimming it by selling that call, exactly like you said, at the money or out of the money. Not too far away. You don't want to sell it for pennies. You want to sell something that premium makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. And Dennis, you and I did this in a hedge fund, I want to say in 2000, in the early or mid 2000s. And we added an additional, I want to say, as an addition, just doing this strategy, an additional 10% return on the entire portfolio over the year, just by doing this.
Just by doing this. And our timing was not perfect.
Yep.
No, some of that was taken out. Some of that we get some premiums. Some of that we get called out, and so on and so forth. If you do it consistently, every few months here and there, you add a lot.
That's a lot.
If you're new to this, if the listeners are new to this, I mean, these are pretty simple strategies: just filling calls, selling put. For example, I'll show you the chart. GDX is around 34 right now. The high was back in 2011, 2012. As you can see, it's 65. There is no doubt in my mind that we're going to get there. Not this year, but over the course of maybe 3 years, because gold is in bull market, I think we'll get there. This is 100% return. So that's why I recommend GDX. And some of the gold stocks are already in the highs. Some of them are not. I'm actually surprised that GDX and big gold stocks underperformed gold, because gold was at the all-time high just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I believe that gold equities will catch up and catch up fast. Yeah. So I think gold stocks will outperform the metal itself. And this chart is telling, we're going back to the all-time high of about 65 or so. I think it's written all over it. Not soon, don't expect miracles like this year, but I think it makes sense. And that's why GDX is a major allocation, and that's why it's okay to add it on the weakness, whether through puts or through other things.
But what I want to ask, and again, pardon the interruption, what I want to ask and share with our listeners here is, if you have a chart in front of you can really start seeing the picture, if you would, and then you can start employing the strategy. So if we have this thesis that gold's in a bull market, and it's a very strong thesis, we have a thesis that GDX is going to double. And again, this is not investment advice. This is a thesis.
Right.
What we do is, we're very happy with the summer slow season of a sideways season and weakness, because it allows us to accumulate and build. Now, Dennis, looking on this chart, let's say I have, we're going to use a round number of $10,000.
Okay.
So we're going to go about 3,000 or 3,300 bucks into GLD. We're going to go about 3,300 in GDX. Okay. So do I just go put $3,300 in GDX right now, or would you scale in? What would you do?
I usually prefer scaling in, but I would do it pretty fast. I like this little correction, whether it's over or not, because if we were at the high going up, then I would put, you know, maybe 10% and another 10%. Right now, we put more, but only scale, and don't do it like, all right, tomorrow morning I'm gonna buy all of it. Really not a good idea. You're never gonna catch the bottom, right? It's impossible. Looking at the indicators, it's a little bit not oversold. It's a short term oversold, so it's fine. The blind volatility is normal. Nothing's wrong with that correction. So it could correct to like 31, see the 200-day moving average, possibly. It's just basic technical, maybe. No worries. But yeah, I would get, starting right now, I would get very close to that 33%.
Got it.
Because there is a correction. So listen, you tell the market, thank you very much, I'm not buying it at the high.
So it really depends on what you're seeing in the technicals about how aggressive you would be in average.
Right. If the market is overbought, running crazy for me, let's wait a little bit. I don't know if I catch the top all of a sudden. So then I would scale in more. But at this point, scale in faster than normal. So I like the chart. There's nothing wrong with that. If it corrects a little bit more, no worries. That's fine. So that's what the put options are for, as we just came. So, I mean, especially GDX. I like it. So. And the chart of GDXJ, the junior, is almost the same. See, it's almost.
It's almost identical.
Yeah, almost identical. It's just, but yeah, have both of them. GDX more of a major allocation. Junior is a small allocation.
Yeah, for the record, I personally don't trade GDXJ. I do trade GDX, but I don't trade GDXJ. I just prefer the
more. Yeah, I mean, they're both liquid, very, very liquid. So GDXJ also optionable. I mean, have allocations in both. A GDFJ is a good thing to have because if something, like I said, if the street will start liking them, this thing's going to go through the roof.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it's good to have, let's say, 10% of your portfolio in that, like 10, 15%.
Excellent.
So that gets us to roughly 75% plus or minus. Right.
Yep.
And then I want to give a few examples of the stocks that you like, and we actually talked about it. So they're not part of GDX. They're not part of a bigger group. And there are lots of them. So it takes a lot of research, and sometimes it is overwhelming. But there are a couple of them that I would like to recommend just to look at. Just to look at, you don't have to use them in particular, but similar stocks that are doing well, they're safe, and they're in different parts of the world. I'll give an example. The first one is the ticker symbol DC. It's Dakota Gold. It's been doing nothing, but I mean, they have cash. They actually acquired another company. That's a very good sign for a gold company. If they're acquiring somebody, it means they're confident. It means that the business is doing well. They just corrected, and they're trading at like 230. They're vault. So they can move like 10% a day and things like that. What I'm saying is allocate to a company like that, maybe 2-3%, maybe 2%, 3%. It's something like a never expiring option.
Yeah.
So I like it at 230. It corrected. There's nothing wrong. The volume is stable. They're oversold. It's a good company. They're with a good management. They operate in mostly North and South Dakota, kind of a local company there. They have cash, which I like. The debt is minimal. And they're acquiring, they just bought a copper mine or a company. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's a good story. The chart is absolutely normal. You're buying at a discount. I don't think they're going to go much lower. Nothing is wrong with the company at all. So that's one of the examples.
So okay.
Why not? Another one, it's ticker ESRMF. This one, Treasury Metals. They've been dead forever. They're trading at 16 cents. I mean, at some point they were trading over a dollar. So what they do is look at the volume. It starts coming alive a little bit. The stock has bottomed. You're buying it at 16 cents. Again, it's a never expiring option. I mean, from 16 to right here, they just go to the high of this chart where they were literally a year ago. It's a double. So that can happen in a few days. I'm not saying anything. But it's a company that they're acquiring a couple company. Again, I like when gold companies acquire other companies. I like it. That means sometimes it has a negative effect on their cash flow. No problems. If they're acquiring somebody, business as well. That is a good thing. They mostly operate in Canada. It's a Canadian company, but you don't have to buy it on a Canadian exchange. It's right here. You can buy that. That's another example. Again, don't allocate more than like 2%. Something like that. Just have that. Have these options. They're pretty safe. I mean, you can sit with it, you know, forever, and then they go well. Another one is found.
Hold on, Dennis. What I like what you said about both of these is both Dakota Gold and Treasury Metals is that it's like you don't need options on these. It's like holding an option with an expiration date. You're getting that kind of leverage. So.
Yeah. I mean, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to go bankrupt? I seriously doubt that. So, and even if that happens, lose 2%, but I don't see those companies go bankrupt. They're doing fine. Well, and if it takes you a year for them to double, no worries. Yeah, never expiring option. So don't put 20% on them, please. Put a couple of percentages of them. And there's another example is FNS, MCF. They're all long. This is a First Nordic company. Look at the volume. It was pretty much dead, right? It's going nowhere. It was at 60 cents. Now it's 25 cents. Look at the volume when it's starting to go up. There's a lot of interest. All of a sudden, from trading like 5 shares a day, now they're trading 250,000 shares a day.
That's a serious acquiring.
That's a serious acquiring, and it's going up. So they're to 25 cents. They go back to 60, that's 130%, right? So the volume's telling me the story. They're not just gold. They do silver, they do other metals. That's a good thing, a little bit of a diversification. They operate they're from Vancouver, Canada, but they operate mostly in Sweden. They're kind of diversifying the region as well. So we have the first one doing business in Dakotas, the other one doing business in northwestern Canada. This one is doing business mostly in Sweden. So when I saw this volume, I thought, okay, this is accumulation. It means funds are interested in it. And there's nothing wrong with this stock. I think it's going up. I think it has a very bright future. So these are just three different examples that you can add. All right, 2% here, 2% there, 2% there. All right, maybe you'll find a couple more. So another 6 to 10% or something like that you add to the portfolio. And now you get to about 85, right? Something. 85, 90, 80, right? You're there. Always have a little bit cash in there, especially knowing that right now we're correcting. So maybe you'll write those puts, right? To acquire more of GDX or GLD. Maybe in 3 weeks from now, you'll find another stock, right? So have that 10 or 15%, especially now, because we're correcting. Have that cash on hand. Okay, you're 80 to 90% invested. And if you see something interesting, bam, you have a little bit of cash. You add 3% here. So that's where I would be at the moment. I think
about having cash. And again, this goes back to my experience working with you. We would typically have at least 10% cash, just not a little bit, at least. I mean, I think at our most aggressive times, I don't think we were ever fully invested, but at the most aggressive of times, we took it maybe to 5%, but it was almost always at least minimally 10%. And what that does, it really keeps
25 sometimes.
Yeah. Sure. It really just keeps you disciplined having these ratios. And if you buy one, if you're buying something, it's almost like you have to sell another thing just to, against balance it.
You want if you invested 100% and the market goes down, the gold and gold stocks go down, you say, oh my God, this is such a great time to get in. You don't have money.
Right.
So count that 10% or something like that. So don't put it all right in. That's where I would be. I mean, gold is in the bull market. It's a wonderful time for gold. The metals in general, whether they're industrials or primarily precious metals, silver as well. We can talk silver some other time. I remember, I think you know that story. It's a funny story. It was before we met and I worked for another fund late in the 90s. It was 1999. And we traded mostly S&P, mostly futures, and, you know, every time we had to call them. So they just, electronic trading just thought we had to call them.
Those days. Yeah.
You know, that was fun. And you call them, and it's just creamy. You can barely hear them. They don't say hello. It's like 10, 20, and 30, 20 and 30. It's like, what are you doing? It's like 30 buys down. They hang out. They call you back. Great. And my boss back then, I was like a junior trader. I said, all right. And the gold was in bear market for 20 years. 1980, the summer of 99. The gold is trading like at 270 or 380.
Yeah.
All right, let our buy call. First of all, it took him like 20 minutes to find a phone number for the option bid. So, all right, buy like 300 contracts of something, September and December out of the money. All right. So I called them, and the guy said, hello. I go, is that a gold option bid? She said, yes, it is, sir. How can I help you? I was like, to prank. I mean, I think my boss is pranking me. I was like, all right, I would like to buy this and this. It's like, yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah, you're filled. I was like, it was kind of out of the money. And they were so happy that somebody bought 200. They were just giving them away.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore, but it was funny. So I think you know the story. Back in 99, we were losing money in the stock market because we were bearish and the market kept going up and up. And the gold saved us the year.
Because that's awesome.
I remember in October, it bottomed at 252. I still remember that. And in 2 weeks, it went from 252 to 330.
Yep.
And those options went up 40 fold.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't catch the climb. We were just telling them that it was just a great story. It will never happen anymore, but it made our year.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
right. Well, okay. So my story on that is I was trading with my stepbrother And I was in that market, and we started accumulating out of the money calls for the exact same reason. They were so stinking cheap. And we immediately got filled. We called in, immediately got filled. And we started buying it probably around the same time, about 270. It bottomed at 252. I remember that. And then some news hit. I don't remember what the news was, but it hit. And literally so fast, gold went up to 330. And we took our account to like over $100,000.
Good old times.
Yeah. So
anyways, well, thank you so much, Dennis. What I'd like to do next time we have you on is let's construct an energy portfolio for people that are interested in investing in energy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of my favorite subjects. So anytime, Andy, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dennis.